My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who will guide us to Destination Unlimited. In the 1968 album, In Search of the Lost Chord, Graham Edge of the Moody Blues shared this tone poem called The Word. This garden universe vibrates complete. For some, there is a sound so sweet. Vibrations reach on up to become light, and then through gamma and out of sight. Between the eyes and ears there lies the sound of color and the light of a sigh. And to hear the sun, what a thing to believe, but it's all around if we could but perceive. Can we perceive the sounds and vibrations of the universe, of everything? And if we can, how can we benefit from this in body, mind, and spirit? My guest this evening, Jill Mattson, has the answer to these questions. Jill is an accomplished artist, musician, lecturer, and author. She's a recording artist with numerous CDs using ancient and modern sound healing techniques. Her Deep Wave Beauty CD was a finalist for the Coalition of Visionary Resources Specialty CD of 2012. Jill has authored several sound healing books and lectures throughout the United States on the topic of sound, spirit, and matter. She draws on her extensive research of modern sound healing and 20-year study of antiquities and secret societies to show the incredible power and healing capabilities of sound. And she's the author of the award-winning book, The Lost Waves of Time, The Untold Story of How Music Shaped Our World. Please welcome Jill Mattson. Good evening, Jill.
Good evening, Victor. I'm so happy to be here.
And we're so pleased to have you with us. And so let's talk about you to begin our little conversation tonight. How did your journey of discovery begin?
I went on a spiritual quest, a midlife spiritual quest, after reading the Old Testament and being quite upset with God's moodiness and some of his intent and actions. I decided that whatever you perceived God to be had a reflection on who you were. So if I had a mean, an angry, judgmental God, then that would reflect on who I was. So I went on a quest, a spiritual quest, to find the most beautiful, highest loving God I could. And since I started being dissatisfied with the Old Testament, I went to the Serpentine version and quickly ended up in the Kabbalah. Shortly thereafter, I ended up in the ancient Sumerian mysteries and like, ooh la la. And as I continued going through these inner circles of beings that have come to shepherd us and to teach us through different ages, not only did I get a more higher, loftier view of God, but every time they would talk about sound or music, me being a musician since I was knee-high to a grasshopper, I mean, I just turned into a full-fledged porcupine, hairs on end, you know, like panting, having a visceral response. It's like, oh my gosh. And it was blowing my mind. The ancient world used sound for everything. It was a toolbox. And the idea that sound is entertainment to them would be such a dangerous idea that people could not understand that we ingest sound and they change us. And we're like lambs to the slaughter. We don't think about what we listen to or expose to. And it makes a huge difference. So my life is all about changing the way the world perceives sound and music, for it's a powerful tool and it can make our life so much better with careful use.
Absolutely. Now, what secrets did the ancients know about energy, matter, and sound?
I think the better question almost would be, what secrets didn't they know? In the beginning, when I read the new stories about the ancient masters, there's a lot coming out that hasn't hit our textbooks yet. That's because they're just translating cuneiform. They're just really digging in to what the Egyptian papyri are saying. They're just translating the Incas and the Mayans and the Aztecs. This stuff is new. There's a host of stuff out on the ancient cultures of Lemuria and Atlantis that's not channeled, but is referred to in these ancient historical writings. They describe these early beings, almost not Homo sapiens. I'm just using my imagination here after reading them. I would say that they're more like an elf or a fairy, or not quite so solid, more of a group soul. And definitely they have access to interpreting a greater range of the electromagnetic spectrum. And that's a big word, so what does that mean? Well, the electromagnetic spectrum is real simple. It's just like 1 second, one cycle per second, everything's energy, 2 cycles per second, on up. And then if you recall those charts, they'll show you little bands where we can perceive light and a little box where we can perceive sound. But in general, there's an awful lot of these waves out there that change us, that we don't perceive or get that information to interpret in our consciousness. But these ancient people had different sources. They were highly clairvoyant, highly clairaudient. I like to think of Sherry Edwards today with her extraordinary hearing like a dolphin. Or Donna Eden, who can take a look at your circulation and organs in your body through her clairvoyance. This is the type of beings they're describing in these early races. So they're able to communicate telepathically. And I have been fortunate to be able to do that. And when you communicate telepathically, you get a deep wad of information. You get how they feel, what they're saying. You get related information. It's very full. Whereas a word, it's just like a little skeleton. Think of a little rubber stamp. Just a bit of the bigger piece of information. So are these people going to use words for communication? Probably not. They use them, sounds, vibrations, energies, the whole spectrum, for different purposes. They can look in your physical body and they can see if something's starting to go dark, because normally it would be like pastel colors, that something's out of tune, which will eventually decay the physical body. And so they sing it back into tune. You know, they'll use sound like a jackhammer to lift rocks, to shape or to create. But they have a whole different view in the world. And then these early histories describe what they learned from these ancient beings. And it's just fabulous. They're using sound for practical purposes, for health, for strength, for warfare, to grow your garden, to rehabilitate a criminal, just stuff that we would never even think of.
Now, some of what you're referring to is known as subtle energy. What is subtle energy, and how does it work, and how does it affect us?
Loosely speaking, subtle energy would be quantum energy. Quantum energy, or tiny packets of energy. So, like, if you're in a feeling something and you notice just a tiny little feeling, that would be subtle energy. It's just a little tiny packet of energy with our outlook of perception today. Most people don't notice, but it builds up. And I'd like you to think of this example. Think of the Colorado River, and the water flows down, and it, of course, bends to the shape of the rocks. So you'd say, rocks roll. But then you look up at the Grand Canyon. No, water rolls. Because of the consistency over time, that little trickle of that subtle water slowly shapes the rocks. And that's like subtle energy, constantly changing us, constantly influencing us. Very powerful.
Now, in your amazing book, The Lost Waves of Time, you discuss the idea of involution and evolution as they relate to matter and spirit. Please share with our listeners the significance of involution and evolution.
I made up the word involution to distinguish between the evolution of physical matter from Darwin and the evolution of a soul or consciousness. And I believe that the path of consciousness starts out as all that is or God. And through the different epochs and the different time periods, you can see that the subtle energy forces tunes these beings and they become further from God. And you can watch the music in each culture, look at the mathematics underneath the music, and see it making them more individual, further away from God. And then, of course, music can take us back on the fast track as well. And I've really, really pondered. It is so when you look at the mathematics and the science of the music changing through these epochs, that we become more individualized, more our own man, more responsible for ourselves, less of the tribe, you know, more of just us. And we are definitely influenced by the music, and we become further from God and all that is in this process as well. And so I just wondered, I mean, what are we all, stupid or something? Why are we all choosing to incarnate and get further from God?
And we're going to hold that point and say we'll be back with more of this fascinating topic of sound and energy and all that is with Jill Mattson on Destination Unlimited on the OM Times Radio Network after these messages.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
What are all the things you witness online in a day? Cats playing piano, selfies on your feed, your friend's picture being turned into a nasty meme that's been shared 50 times, 51, 52. When someone's being bullied online, it's hard to know what to do. Now you can speak up with the witness emoji. It looks like an eye in a speech bubble, and it's in the symbol section near the clocks in your phone. You'll let the world know it isn't cool, and you'll let your friend know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Bill Maher. I can find humor in almost anything, but one thing I never laugh about is cruelty to animals. If you don't get the joke either, write People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, 501 Front Street, Norfolk, Virginia, 23510.
And we're back on Destination Unlimited. My guest this evening is Jill Mattson, author of The Lost Waves of Time. So, Jill, before the break, you were talking about this concept of involution and evolution. Let's go back to that thought.
Yeah, Victor, we had talked about examining the evolution of a soul or consciousness, and I'm calling that process involution to differentiate that from physical matter. And we talked about the question about why people incarnate into matter, and it, over time, we become further from God, more of an individual. And my theory that I present in The Lost Waves of Time is that we do this because we're God's growing up, we're children of God, and we're growing up. We're learning to be responsible, to make our own choices, We're learning what it feels like to be all on our own and how to take charge of situations. And I believe that that's why people incarnate. And as the music takes us further and further from God, we learn skills and strengths and how to master matter, the heaviest, densest of energy. And then when we evolve in our spirit and consciousness to be more connected with all that is, we take back all these new skills. So I'm pretty excited about that thought.
That is a fascinating concept. Is this something that goes on lifetime after lifetime?
I believe so.
Now, how do numbers relate to energy and sound? Because you talked about numbers. How do numbers relate?
The ancient man believed that all is number. And in fact, that's a famous quote from Pythagoras. And it the same quote will be found in the ancient Chinese, the ancient Egyptians, etc. They believed that the higher use of numbers was energy. And our mathematics today, they would call the vulgar use of numbers. At any rate, think of the number one as like being all by yourself, standing on your own, being alone, and how that feels. And then think about being in a relationship, you know, a two, a couple, and how that feels. And then just kind of let your feelings wander to the difference between three people in a relationship, father, mother, child. And so we easily can grasp the feelings or the energy associated with numbers. So numbers were the root of creation, and ancient man likened the universe something to our string theory today. And they discussed about different worlds or dimensions having different tunings. So in different consciousness, different patterns of numbers created different things in matter. And so understanding the numbers was understanding the most basic building blocks of creation in the universe. And if you look at the Sumerian mysteries, very, very old, the cradle of society, some of the oldest stuff we got written today, their gods are gods of numbers, because the number represents an energy, and that energy through resonance. Now, there's another word, resonance. If you have two violins and you play one, an A string on one, the A string on the other will just like start to sound. It's like magic. Energy transfers on the same frequency, and an octave of that frequency, and an octave is just the same note, higher or lower, like CC. So a number, if you take it up octaves, is going to correlate to emotions, things in your body, brain waves, all kinds of things. So if you had a god of a number, he would be a god of certain emotional strengths, physical strengths, very much like a later pantheon of gods.
Now, some of this was... I'm sorry. Go ahead. I apologize.
Oh, no. I'm good. I'm done.
Some of this was expressed in ancient Sanskrit writings and then taken by Fibonacci and expressed in his number sequence, or the Fibonacci number, and also in the golden mean or the golden ratio. Please share about how that evolved.
Ancient man could liken God to creating the world with sound. And let's say you have an old Etch-a-Sketch, and that's a toy where you try to draw and you only have two knobs. And one knob makes a curved line, yet the other knob makes a straight line. So the Fibonacci pattern of numbers, they used a different type of geometry than we do, but the Fibonacci pattern of numbers creates that gorgeous spiral in the night sky. It's in a beehive. It's in tens of thousands of times in your body. It's in almost every flower, every tree you see. If God had a favorite pattern, it was the Fibonacci pattern of numbers. And when you take two of those numbers and divide them by each other, you get phi. And then back to our Etch-a-Sketch illustration, the other little tab or button you could manipulate would create a straight line, would be the solfeggio tones. And these ancient seers that I talked about, that they carry these stories down for generation after generation, talks about when people hear these ancient number patterns expressed as frequencies or cycles per second, that certain patterns light your aura up full of white light. And so what does that mean? Well, white light's the component of the rainbow colors. So if you have a crystal and white light goes through it, you see the rainbow on the wall. And likewise, white light becomes like the building blocks of everything. So let me see, I just need to catch up here. Where am I going? Could you help me? Where was I last?
The building blocks of white light.
Ah, okay. The building blocks of white light. So they would see that certain number patterns fill you up full of white light. And there are methods today with software that you can look at all the frequencies in the body. And when you're healthy, you have every frequency there is, every cycle per second within a pretty broad range is in your body. When you are sick, you're missing a lot of frequencies. So health equates to white light, perfect health. And emotional balance equates to white light. And all these kind of things that we really like equate to all that is or mastery of all the frequencies and having all the frequencies. So when white light is created in your aura, it's really a powerful gift. With Carillion photography, people at an expo go and get their aura photo taken, and usually it reveals that we're a color. Like you'll see somebody's aura photo when they're purple, or somebody else has got a lot of yellow and orange. Very rarely. In fact, I've never seen anybody with a white light in their aura. Yet, ancient seers could see that some number patterns, Fibonacci, Solfeggio, created white light in your aura. Very significant. And they would listen to it in sound to ingest this powerful, healthy, divine energy.
So in essence, what we're saying, if I can extrapolate and go sort of back to the origin, is that God, the divine, the creator, is a master mathematician, a master singer, and a master speaker.
Yes. And in the beginning was the word. There you go. Yes.
And everything created, it's almost as if it's a computer program because the number sequences are so perfect and beautiful.
Correct.
Now, in your book, you discuss the relationship between these numbers and what have been called cropped circles. Please explain.
With the ancient methods of geometry, you find that certain number patterns equate to different geometric shapes. And so, for example, if you want Fibonacci in Phi, you draw a five-pointed star. And when you get the energy of a geometric shape, it actually creates tiny quantum frequencies. Sherry Edwards can hear it, and sophisticated sound equipment can pick it up. A shape creates energies in that subtle energy will bounce off the edges of the shape and they'll interfere, and in some places they build up, in some places they don't, and they create frequencies. So when you have a crop circle showing a five-pointed star, and some of them are really fabulous, they'll show like a 15 stars in one little crop circle, it's creating Fibonacci sequences, and it's creating Phi, all these things that create white light, kind of like a little vitamin into the earth, perhaps, of subtle energy that's positive and uplifting.
Where do you think that energy comes from that creates the crop circles?
Well, that I don't really know, but I don't think it really matters whether it's an extraterrestrial or whether it's a human being doing sacred geometry, meaning shapes found in nature, and fabulous ones that are fabulous energy injections, it's helpful to us.
As in, you look at a tree and you don't say, where did that tree come from? You just say, look at that tree. And you marvel in the beauty and the design and the nature.
Yeah, and it feels good. Yeah.
My guest, Jill Mattson, she's the author of The Lost Waves of Time, as well as the creator of many wonderful CDs on sound healing and meditation. Jill, please tell our listeners where they can get your books and your CDs and find out more about all the wonderful work that you do.
At JillsWingsOfLight.com. That's JillsWingsOfLight.com. There are books, CDs, videos, articles, a lot of free stuff on the homepage, the Sound Healing School, lots to explore. It's fun.
Wonderful. And we'll be back with more of Jill Mattson on Destination Unlimited on the OM Times Radio Network after these messages.
You're listening to OTR-FM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
Are you in an interfaith relationship and thinking of getting married? For 18 years, Reverend Lori Sue Brockway has been creating personalized, loving, and romantic ceremonies for couples of all faiths and cultural backgrounds. Reverend Lori Sue's sensitivity to the needs of interfaith couples is reflected in the compassionate and inclusive way she addresses the concerns of parents and families. Reverend Lori Sue is also the author of several best-selling books on interfaith weddings and wedding vows. Selected as one of the top interfaith officiants by New York Magazine, Reverend Lori Sue serves couples in the New York metropolitan area and beyond. Find out more at her website, yourinterfaithwedding.com.
Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on OM Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
Today we decided to walk to school. The light counted. 15, 14,
31, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Street. Danny's smart, but he gets distracted. I realized he forgot his homework. I hope he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. Brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
And we're back on Destination Unlimited. My guest this evening, Jill Mattson, the author of The Lost Waves of Time, the untold story of how music shaped our world. I began the program this evening with a tone poem from Graham Edge of the Moody Blues from the 1968 album In Search of the Lost Chord. That tone poem was called The Word, and it said, concludes by going, two notes of the chord, that's our four scope. But to reach the chord is our life's hope, and the name the chord is important to some, and they give it a word, and the word is OM. And as we know, in many cultures and faith systems, they've used sound expression as a means of worship and drawing closer to the divine. What are some of the earliest practices that you've uncovered in your research, Jill?
I'd like to give you two examples. One was a practice from Atlantis in which they were teaching their children, this would be the latter part of Atlantis, some of the practices of these higher beings. They had much more access to different energies in the electromagnetic spectrum, meaning they were clairvoyant and clairaudient. And they could see, as I mentioned earlier, like if an organ went dark or if something in your body started to slip out of tune, and they could sing it immediately right into harmony or health. So what they taught their children when they lost this gift of clairvoyance and clairaudience and they became like us, a Homo sapiens, they simply taught them to remember the notes of the organs, the colors of the organs, and they associated with them elements and also with different emotions. So that was a powerful technique, and I have that to teach others in my Deep Wave Body Healing CD. Through science, you can come up with the exact frequencies of healthy organs and resurrect this ancient practice. So there's one that's really cool. The second is 13,000 years old. It's been a recently translated poem script from southern India from a man called Mayan, who describes that he's on the Lemurian continent. And he describes the Big Bang theory in his terms, the quantum energy, and how energy began. And he shows the sounds and the shapes that the sounds would encompass and how we get into the creation of matter as we know it today. And the shapes in that process are basically the shapes in India and in South America of temples, of priests. They're using these shapes in the early days of creation of God to impart that energy to us. And I think that's really kind of a fascinating idea.
So the sound is not only manifesting in terms of creation and energy, but in the shapes of the ancient temples and the way that people would worship.
Right. They're mocking the creation process of the initial creation process, like the supercharged God, you know, high test God. And they're creating it in temples so that through resonance, that temple also creates that same exact energy and it lifts up the worshipers.
And as they chant in turn, perform chanting or kirtan, that energy is reinforced by the structure that they're dwelling within.
You bet.
Wonderful. So what are some of the roots of your sound healing? How did you get involved in sound healing?
As I said, it was this spiritual quest, and it was a 20-25-year period. The ancients perceived that this was very powerful information. You could control people's thoughts, health. I mean, what could be more powerful? So they encoded it, and it took me probably that full time to figure out all the basics of how they altered all energy through the periscope of sound. Sound is cheap, it's easy, it's malleable, you can observe the effects. I mean, it's so conducive to understanding all that is. And so as I studied through these 25 years, I would learn like a secret from the Egyptians, for example. And that secret might help me understand what the Chinese were kind of dancing around, or to crack a code in another ancient society. And I feel pretty comfortable that I have the understanding, the basic understanding now, of how they use sound for everything, for a window into the world.
Now, all of us have had the experience of hearing a piece of music and being touched by it, bringing us to tears or bringing us to a rapturous sensation. How do sounds relate to our emotions?
Each emotion in your body is an exact frequency. Love always feels the same because it is the same cycles per second. So if I create that inner frequency, I'm going to start to resonance. I'm going to generate that inside you. Remember, energy transfers on the same frequency. So you, in my Healing Flower Symphonies, I create the frequency of a beautiful emotion, and then I make music to match, to make it more powerful. And then I copied off the ancient Greeks, how they used catharsis, because if you're full of fear, it's hard to ingest courage. So they had different techniques to take your negative garbage out. And all of us are full of negative garbage. That's the Healing Flower Symphonies, and it's just kind of a science thing. Everything in your physical body is energy, and it vibrates. And there is equipment today that can count the cycles per second of everything. For example, think of an oscilloscope that you plug into your electric, and it counts the cycles per second of your electric. Likewise, you can have a sound oscilloscope. And this, you can put on an item, and it will also count the cycles per second. That's one of many ways. The periodic chart of elements is a musical scale. There's another way in which you can come up with the frequency of everything. And in the human body, your organs have a frequency when they're healthy that's consistent. It's the same with your bones and your muscles. Today, you can even go to an orthopedic doctor, and he can give you a little box that has a frequency of your bone. And through resonance, remember the violins, how energy transfers, the frequency of a healthy bone is transferred to you by listening. And you can take your time to heal that broken bone in half. The ancient Egyptians were doing that. This is a very, very old technique. And even things like a process in your body, such as digestion, it's a chemical formula. And when you put in all the elements and put in their sounds, you'll see the mathematics works. So you can take a look in a sound way how your digestion's doing, what you're eating but not utilizing. So you can even use sound to improve body processes and formulas.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the specific organs and how sounds relate to those specific organs. Let's say that I'm having some type of difficulty with my heart, for example. What sounds would we employ to heal and restore the balance to my heart?
Well, there is a frequency, and I have that in my Deep Wave Body Healing CD. So I play the frequency, and then there's something called a harmonic, and it's just an after ripple of sound. It's very important in sound healing, and it's very little known as well. But let's say the actual health is determined by the root note being appropriate for that heart, but the finer details would be tuned by the harmonics. Now, when you have a digital CD, you can't get a harmonic that's not digitalized or averaged. And you have to have it right on. So with software, I've been able to recreate the perfect harmonics for a health. So you have a root note, you have the harmonics, you can have a vowel sound, which tends to massage and vibrate that heart, and a rhythm that puts a heart into a slow, healthy, kind of a place where homeostasis or rest and rebuild can occur. You can imagine a color, and in my cosmic streams where I'm tuning the chakras, I'll put in the frequency of a color in the chakra, probably 11 different attributes of the chakra.
You go ahead. I'll edit this. Go ahead. You go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was done.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. And I know that in the ancient Sanskrit and the Hindu practices, we talked about root sounds or bija, and each of these bija relating to one of the organs. This is something similar to that, is that not?
Correct.
So, for example, for the heart, as we said before, what would be that sound, the actual sound that's chanted for the heart?
I chant, ah, and I would... And because that's been used in most of the ancient mystery schools, and you'll find that sometimes a mystery school might modify the vowel sound a little bit. And I believe that's because each culture would have had characteristic different health problems. So, you know, the sounds would have evolved as the human body evolved. But ah, to me, is a really good vowel sound because it you can feel it just massaging the heart.
Absolutely. And if I wanted to have my entire body balanced, everything, mind, body, and spirit, what would I do?
Well, all of my CDs are designed to do that. I have Paint Your Soul and Stardust, ancient methods of tuning to the stars, of tuning to Fibonacci, Solfeggio, elements, sacred geometry. I even have the frequencies of the inside of pyramids, which science has shown enables healing. Schumann frequencies. I have all these frequencies in the background of my CDs. And the Paint Your Soul and Stardust are the frequencies and the sound and number patterns that create white light in the aura. Very healing on a spiritual level. The healing flower symphonies go into your emotional body, and it's a matrix of emotions, taking out all of our crap and putting in virtues. And really, what is a virtue? It's something good you do so many, many times. It's a habit.
Absolutely.
It's really hard to get a habit, you know, when you're trying to focus on so much.
And my guest this evening is Jill Mattson. She's the author of the book, The Lost Waves of Time. And we'll be back with Jill on Destination Unlimited on the OM Times Radio Network after these messages.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hello! Join us, Lisa Berry and Michelle Carter, every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for the Mindset Makeover, What's Possible? Get ready to become present, clear, and unstuck, and start living fully, led by your heart, while you listen and feel this transformation through vibration of word, sound, and song. You'll open up to what's possible and experience your shift.
What's up? This is Brad
and Mike from Linkin Park.
For Lifebeat, the music industry fights AIDS.
Listen up, times are tough and you get a lot of things thrown your way. If you're being pressured to have sex and you're not ready, then say no. If you're having sex, be smart and use protection. Respect yourself and protect yourself.
For more information, call the National AIDS Hotline at 1-800-342-AIDS or log on to www.lifebeat.org.
And we're back on Destination Unlimited. My guest this evening, Jill Mattson, author of The Lost Waves of Time. Jill, we were talking about things of healing, but let's talk a little bit more about some of the concepts that you discuss in The Lost Waves of Time. For example, you say that music is everywhere. How can we learn to listen for and hear that music?
When I say music is everywhere, I'm talking about everything is energy. And energy expresses the cycles per second or frequency. Now, we don't hear it all. For example, plants have little vibrations, and you can record them and amplify them, and they're gorgeous. But without the amplification, we don't hear them. For example, we don't hear X-rays, or we don't hear electricity. But they're there nonetheless. And I would say, how can you hear them? Pay attention to your feelings. If you go out in nature, it feels so good. And that's because the music from nature and the plants and the flowers and the trees and the earth, it's healthy, it's healing, it's natural, it's revitalizing. Same with the night sky, just gazing at the stars. Yet, you know, go into a polluted section of town, and when you start having like GMOs in sound, if you will, it feels bad. So I would say pay attention to your feelings.
So it's sort of like synesthesia, where you're sensing a sound through a feeling.
Yes.
That's a beautiful concept, and I think that there's so much richness in our world that most of us in our everyday, workaday life are missing, and we need to sometimes just slow down and feel and listen.
And the beauty is that our bodies release endorphins when we get a frequency we need. And I've tested that, again, in my Secret Sounds book. I explain bioacoustics and how you can look at every frequency in your body. And I also explained earlier in the interview how you need every frequency for health. So if you're missing a frequency, a problem, and somebody plays music in that key signature, but gives you a healthy dosage of that frequency, you'll love it. Because your body releases endorphins, and it's like, I like that.
The sensation.
Simple, yeah. How simple, how beautiful. You know, you don't have to do the 25 years I did on research. Just pay attention to what you like.
That's wonderful. Now, ancient stories tell us of the use of music and sound to actually affect and move matter. The Old Testament tells us the walls of Jericho were brought down by the sound produced from the blowing of the ram's horn or the shofar. What are some other examples of using sound as a powerful force?
Sound was used in ancient times for warfare, for lifting heavy rocks, for growing crops. For example, let me think on lifting heavy rocks. I was lucky enough to see an old movie from Tibet in which they were copying an ancient process that I've read about in these ancient histories, in which they were using their voice and their musical instruments, kind of like a water pistol, and being very careful about where they aimed their direct on sound. And they would amass certain frequencies, and they would create the sounds of the resonance of the rock so that energy would transfer, much like a soprano sings and the wine glass shatters. You know, it's not any note. It's got to be the note of the wine glass to make it shatter. And they would lift huge boulders up the rocks. And there's just an example of how sound was used like a tool.
There are some who believe that ancient structures similar to pyramids were built using sound, correct?
That's correct. You'll find that in South America, in North American stories, in China, in Egypt, all over, in the Druids, all over. They all talk about that, yes.
So does every piece of matter have a resonant frequency that can be used to affect it?
Yes. Yes.
So in essence, anything can be affected by sound.
Yes, absolutely. And it's slow, meaning subtle, small quantities. But we're surrounded. You can play my healing flower symphonies and, you know, sleep with them, and you ingest sound while you're sleeping, and you can get the proper dosage to make a powerful transformation, and you can do it while you're sleeping. Wow.
Can we vibrate to one another?
Absolutely. I find when I look at my frequencies, I'm not special in that I'm not a big white light. I'm like everybody else. And I just have a lot of blue for me. I have a lot of blue and purples in my aura. And the mathematics that balances blue is orange. And you'll find most of my friends are orange. I mean, they literally complete me. They literally heal me. I'm attracted to them. Yes.
So we do vibrate to each other then.
You bet.
And is there a vibration of love?
Absolutely. Every emotion. And the ancient people would put love as a category. It just like light goes through a crystal, and you see this gorgeous crystal. They would say there's a mother's love. There's a romantic love. There's, you know, different types of love. So they would break it out into, like, perhaps 12 divine attributes of love, and then they would tune to each and every one.
Wow, that's beautiful. What's the relationship between sound and, let's say, astrology?
This is so cool. I love this. In the beginning, sound was used to alter astrology. And for those who don't believe in astrology, you can buy frequencies of the day off of NASA and satellite people who own satellites. And they'll give you frequencies below our hearing range that come in from the planets. Think of a motorboat and how it moves in the water and creates a wave. Well, a planet in its orbit creates a wave below our hearing range. And as the planets move, these waves come in and they influence us. So you can look at the frequencies of the day and see, oh, well, the frequencies that are associated with niacin's coming in today. And if you have a cold, you have a good day. So astrology is energy, like everything else is energy. And every tone can be undone or enhanced by sound. And just think of it this way. If you were to, this is the secret of Dr. Royal Rife, a doctor in the early 40s. If you were to look under a powerful microscope at a live cancer cell and it kind of breathes, you can measure how it goes in and out and come up with its frequency through science. So let's say, I'm making this up, the cancer's 10 cycles per second. Then you listen to 1 over 10. And 10 times 1 over 10 cancels out. In that manner, you can cancel out frequencies. Or, depending on how you phase them, you can amplify frequencies. So ancient music was playing the stars. It was negating challenges so that the people would have an easier time through a rough challenge.
The music of the spheres.
Yeah.
So using that, for example, using the connection between sound and music and astrology, can we know which days will be vibrationally better for us?
Absolutely. Now that's a little bit of science. So what I do, and it's individual. So what I did in my Stardust CD was I put in the frequencies the planets create in their orbit. Now they do alter as they move some, but I put the originating frequencies and the frequencies of the elements, carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, elements of the stars in our bodies, and taped NASA sounds with beautiful heavenly music. And the idea is kind of like Lamaze. You know, in Lamaze, you get into the breathing, into the rhythm, you get into the music, so to speak, and it makes it easier to handle the pain and the contraction. So in my Stardust CD, I'm tuning people to the root frequency of our solar system. And I'm tuning you in a heavenly light to make it easier when those challenges come in. And that's a generic method.
And can we chant some of these, or are they all within in the inaudible range?
Well, anything that's in an inaudible range can be raised up octaves so that we could chant it.
So can you give us an example of that, please?
In the orbit of the Earth, it's a very, very low note. When you take it up octaves, it's a musical G. Mm-hmm. So G on your piano and you're tuning to the Earth.
That's beautiful. I didn't know that. What about, for example, what about an F chord or an F note?
I don't know if I know it off the top of my head, but I could look at a chart and tell you.
That's okay. I was just trying to get another example of that, but that's fine. So we're talking a little bit about your wonderful CDs.
Oh,
you mentioned a few of them. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
F is the same note as a Platonic year, and it was a note that the ancient Chinese tuned to. And C is tuning to the sun, and that is the tuning note of the ancient Hindus.
Wow, that is absolutely beautiful. So hear the sun, what a thing to believe, as Graham Edge said in that poem. Now, you've crafted many, many wonderful CDs. We've talked about some of them for sound healing and meditation. Please tell us about some of those.
Okay. Contacting Angels and Masters is one in which I just copy off of antiquity, how all the angels and masters would be divided according to the rays or musical notes or colors. So Saint Germain's violet, Archangel Michael's blue, Archangel Michael is good with nurturing, with strength, with power, whereas Saint Germain is good with transformation and purity. Think of it this way. If when we ascend or enlightenment occurs, we get a degree in white light, and then we go on and we get a master's degree, you know, like in red or orange or yellow. And what that means is Jesus, for example, is a master in yellow of wisdom, of understanding, of mental capacities, of grace, because they're all resonant.
That's beautiful. So tell our listeners, please, one more time how they can get your wonderful CDs and books.
Okay. And that was just, I'm sorry, that was Contacting Angels and Masters. I still haven't mentioned a couple others. Deep Way Beauty Healing has frequencies of vitamins, muscles in your face and neck, collagen, and it's a youthening while feeling beautiful. And Cosmic Streams has 11 different mystery schools, tuning the chakras up and below and with a multitude of different sounds in the background. And I have three books, Ancient Sounds, Modern Healing, dividing sound healing in for sleeping, for energy, for healing, for emotions, for benefits. And then I have Secret Sounds, Bioacoustics, the work of Sherry Edwards, and using sound within your body and your voice, Ascended Master Teachings on altering your voice to alter your life. And I also have The Lost Ways of Time, showing you these powerful secrets per culture, because each culture had a special strength and a special type of music, and how that is created through sound and music and can be used again today.
And where can our listeners get all of these wonderful books and CDs?
JillsWingsOfLight.com.
Wonderful. And Jill, let's hope that the sounds and the vibrations can help to heal our world and bring about peace, kindness, understanding, and love amongst all people. And thank you so much for joining us tonight. This has been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
And thank you all for joining us on Destination Unlimited. I'm Victor, the Voice Furman. Have a great week, and we'll see you next week.